Let's talk. Let's have a chat, shall we?
No one this talks
is
anymore.
This is TFR. Welcome.
Number 71. 71, yeah.
71 of TFR. Thank you for joining us this week. We got loads of stuff to kick.
We got loads.
We just discussed Noah Natovich, but we'll chat about.
Should we move
the
across
situation later? Yeah, we've got a Pochettino to assess.
Yeah, Spurs.
It's unfair on him. Unfair. There we go. I've said it.
It is unfair on him. I agree with you there. I think.
Okay, so there's a statement which went out after getting knocked out of the cup.
Yeah, let's preface this though with.
Yeah.
I agree with you. He is being treated unfairly, but let's preface this with a professional football manager saying, well, anyone who thinks about, you know, winning trophies is that important, you know, it's all about building your ego, winning trophies. That is a ridiculous thing to say.
It is, but what is ego?
Yeah, that's
how would
the
you, how is, would you, how would you, what would you take that as?
See, this is where,
because I'm interested in ego or the self in a different aspect.
I think what he was
alluding to.
Yeah, I think what he was alluding to is the same as you, really. I think what he is alluding to is he's not saying that it's a bad thing, I don't think, to have an ego. But I don't think, I think people are assuming that players like, say, Paul Pogba, they view him and think he's a player with an ego because of the way that he is on social media and things of that nature. They think he's someone with an ego. And someone like Harry Kane isn't.
Mm.
But we don't know who's got the bigger ego out of those two. You just assume that you think Paul Pogba has got the bigger ego. Harry Kane could be really egotistical. Do you know what I mean? So it is. I do agree that the way you react to Pochettino's comments are how you react.
It also proves. It also proves there is no manager that is safe. There's no such thing as safe in management, because they've gone from singing his praises, lining him up to be the next Man United manager or elsewhere, wherever, and now it's come to a scandal.
Like, how many weeks ago was that?
That was literally 8
games ago.
But this is also the case with Pochettino as well, manager, which is coming up.
That's coming up. We'll leave the Oli stuff for now. But yeah, I just
totally unfair to get on that, exactly what Poch said, and take that out of context a little bit, because it's a hard job being Spurs manager.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's really tough. You're not given anything. You're told to grind on. Those players are so tightly all fighting for Poch and his style. He's got enough on his plate, especially like you said before with like Daniel Levy in the background.
Having Daniel Levy in the background, everyone is aware that Daniel Levy is a hard negotiator, or seen as it, and things like that. Now, Daniel Levy is one of the... is the bigger reason in this. We said this when Kyle Walker joined Man City.
Uh-huh.
We said that
they prepared very well.
What we said at the time was Kyle Walker joining Man City and then going on to win the Premier League last season was showing to those Spurs players, you can go elsewhere, earn more money and win trophies.
Do you think Harry Kane will play anywhere else?
Right, Harry Kane is the anomaly, I think, in this situation.
Do you think Dele Alli would go? You know, Danny Rose would definitely
right,
go.
Right, Danny Rose
would go. You know, Eriksen would go.
Yes, I think Eriksen potentially is going to go this summer.
Yeah, which I think he should.
Potentially.
He totally should.
Well, it depends on the Eden Hazard. It literally is Chelsea and Tottenham and Spurs, I believe, will decide the fate of...
So it's just a big
of Real Madrid.
But yeah,
if Chelsea get Hazard, then I think Eriksen stays at Spurs. Whereas if
do you
they
think
don't
still stay, even if that
yeah,
wasn't...
I do. I don't because
what's motivating him?
Because well, no, not
he's
for a lack
good.
Of yeah, not
is
for
Eriksen
him.
Too good for Spurs.
He's their best player by a country mile. But I like the Spurs squad. But the problem with Christian Eriksen is not that. I think he would be like, oh, I want to stay at Spurs. I think it's because I don't see where he would go elsewhere apart from Real.
I think he's a Barcelona player.
No, he could be, yeah, but no, he is, and it's not an indictment of him. The interesting thing is Barcelona have just signed Frenkie de Jong from Ajax for a lot of money. He's joining in the summer, yeah?
Yeah.
Barcelona have also got players like, they've still got Busquets, but they've also got, who else have they? What's their other midfielders that they've got now? Barcelona. My mind's gone.
I saw a picture of them.
You've got De Jong. You've got... Oh, they've signed Vidal. He's playing there. You've got Elena, who's a very good young player.
Oh, Melo.
You've got Rakitic, Elena. You've still... Oh, Philip Coutinho as well.
Forgot about Coutinho.
Yeah, Coutinho and Suarez. You know, they've got a lot of great players.
Puig, Sampa.
Do you think...
And this gentleman.
Yeah, Kevin Prince-Boateng as well.
I think it's a savvy buy.
It is. But what I mean is, I don't see the need to sign Christian Eriksen into that midfield if you're Barcelona. I don't...
Yeah, only... I've seen some stuff anticipating Rakitic potentially leaving.
Yeah, and Coutinho. It's very interesting at the minute.
And Vidal, how old's Vidal?
No, they've only just signed Vidal, though. It's just a... He's basically the make-weight between... You've got... It's the same with Boateng. Vidal and Boateng have been brought in as the make-weight between what they have now and what they're going to have in the future when players like Oriol Busquets and Elena, they go and they're expecting them to develop. Those two are particularly Oriol Busquets and Elena. They're very good players.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Vidal has been brought in while Oriol
if there is a busy summer and Eriksen has the option to join, he could basically, we're in agreement that he could either join Real Madrid or Barcelona because he is that high. What benefits does stay at Spurs going forward?
And then this is the problem with Spurs is if it's widely known that Dele Alli is on less money than John Joe Shelvey, so and then their wages then. It goes up, but it's bonus incentive. Yeah. Whereas you can earn more at first team. Kyle Walker doubled his wages going to Man City and won the Premier League straight away. My opinion hasn't changed since way back when we first talked about Spurs buying players, which was over a year ago we discussed it for the first time. They either need to pay their players the same wages they could get elsewhere, or they need to start winning trophies.
Mm.
Because those players will leave. Ali will leave. Eriksen will leave.
Well, if Poch goes, it'll be tough to keep that group together.
I don't think...
Would they bring in?
Spurs is... Their next managerial appointment is... A question that's not being recognised enough. How good Pochettino jobs...
Is Poch under pressure? Done. Which I don't think he is.
But...
Again, if he is in the position of, we're competing all the time. I don't like it either. I've got to the semi-final for the last 4 years and I made the final the one before. But like, what more can he actually do? He's sort of saying, I'm pushing this squad to the maximum. I'm pushing it, I can't do any more with it. And anyone who walks in will not be able to get the same performances. As what Poch does. Do you want to summarise? You summarise.
Spurs are the new Arsenal.
Then I said put the biscuits away. This week, this is the football ramble. It's not the football ramble. It's the FIFA ramble. This is it. This is how we do. Should we do a little Chelsea thing?
Yeah, let's do a little Chelsea. I just one point that I want to make.
Go on then. Have your point.
This Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah.
Business. Right.
I think it puts that player in a very strong position.
It does. My thing with Hudson-Odoi, I've gone on record on this podcast and said that I thought it was ridiculous because Chelsea were basically showing their hand, just saying, we don't want to lose him because he's a valuable youth player, but we want him to be happy just playing the Carabao Cup. And now Jadon Sancho, whereas before that attitude would have kept players. Like, look at the Man United players that have come out of that academy. Yeah, that have gone on into other careers but never quite had a huge career. Like Darren Gibson, for example.
Darren Gibson still was... He did well for...
He did all right. He's got a good career. But
Chelsea.
But what they want to do, that doesn't happen anymore because of Jadon Sancho. You won't get the Darren Gibsons anymore because Jadon Sancho has shown that... Okay, well, if I'm being held back as a player, a young player in this country, I can be just as successful and still be eligible and being selected by the national coach and earn more money in a great league, you know?
So what I see from this whole Chelsea situation is there's no longer a feelings of spite and negativity towards players.
Yeah.
like Andros Townsend come out with a tweet to say, like, that was a club that he loved for so long
and
he didn't celebrate. Chelsea, the whole system is based on that mentality. Now, what's been proven from the likes of Kevin De Bruyne, Mo Salah, Lukaku.
Yeah, but that's my other point. Is right? Chelsea, are they just trying not to repeat those mistakes?
But off the back of those players, they wouldn't be those players. Like, we discussed this before. They would not be those players unless they went and come back.
Yeah.
Who knows what they'd be like. Now, I think what's opened up is the Hudson-Odoi thing. It's just like, yeah, this is my time to shine. And German football is there, and I've got lots of options, and yeah, I will be looked upon in that way because of those mistakes. So they are the forerunners. Mm. The Kevin De Bruyne, the Lukaku, the Salah, have put that in place for the youth. So that's a very enticing situation you've got in, especially because great players, especially English players, are under the limelight in terms of their potential.
And
so
a lot of German clubs are going in. Well,
Wolfsburg, Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, well, look, German clubs have got this thing at the minute where they're openly admitting that the English youth system...
And Italy is always on the line.
They've said that the English youth system at the moment is producing better talent than the German youth system. So they're getting a lot of functional players coming through the youth system in Germany, but we're getting quite a lot of flair players coming through. So, like, you've got Jadon Sancho, you've got Hudson-Odoi, you've got Reece Nelson, even to a lesser extent, Maitland-Niles. You know, you've got these young players who are coming through.
Yeah.
Jesse Lingard, I'd include in this. As exciting youth in Britain, in football, Marcus Rashford's part of this. There's a very exciting youth.
English national youth.
Very talented. You look at those players, they're talented and they're flair players. Do you know what I mean? Like Jesse Lingard, when he scores, he's almost Brazilian-esque.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Right. In his attitudes. And Germany are looking at this and thinking, well, fine, we'd love some of that. Jadon Sancho's tearing apart.
Yeah, but like it's important to understand that those players we discussed, like your De Bruyne's, your Salah's, like paved the way for this to happen.
Yeah, they did.
So, and they found out, okay, they needed to go back and to be sure of their abilities and come back even stronger.
Yeah, come back.
Because it adds fuel to the fire. It adds like fire in their belly. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It's to good. Be under pressure, you grow.
Yeah, send this up.
To be under pressure, you need to grow. Pedro and William.
Well, they're like your mates, they're both 31, 32. They're getting on a bit now.
Yeah, Pedro's getting on. You know, Hazard. I don't think Hazard will stay at Chelsea past this summer.
No, he's Real Madrid. He'll be Real Madrid totally through and through.
Yeah, I think that's done. Really,
but let's not forget, like Chelsea's gone through a transition right now.
I know.
Come on.
I just get a bit down on it.
Yeah. And like their keeper, the young keeper, he's done really well.
Not welling up.
You just got a tear on your cheek. Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed.
The glory days. Nice.
Thanks anyway.
I think they'll come strong.
But if you do check it again and they score, let me know.
We will be checking.
I think they'll have a strong finish to the season, but it's the same similar sort of thing with Arsenal. That's why this Arsenal game is so integral right now.
Yeah.
And it's a good barometer to see how they're both doing because they're both struggling a little bit.
Well, you can see at the moment, you can see Man United.
Don't tell him that because he's a Man United fan. Don't do that because he could be waxing lyrical. Such a change around the last 7 games.
I'll start talking about Ollie and I'll be crying. In a minute, despair, a
now on the top of the world, Ed Woodward's to blame. He's killed everything.
Like
Ed Woodward. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Ed Woodward's killed football for me. Ah, now so yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, man.
Unbelievable.
Turns out 8 is the magic number.
Is that
not the, 9?
Is it a special number.
Yeah, not 9.
Are we gonna? Do you wanna? Took United probably.
What I like about Man United.
So what happened? What happened with the shock result?
Do you know what I think has happened from a Man United fan's perspective, and just talking honestly about the whole team? Yeah, I think what last night showed is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's naivety in tactics, and team selection. Because I think he wanted to... He tried something different. Lukaku slowed the whole pace of the side down. It was odd. Alexis Sanchez came on and couldn't do it. What I think it highlighted, actually, is what a ridiculously important role players like Jesse Lingard are playing to this United team, and Ander Herrera in particular. I think it shows
how important those two are right now. In my opinion, they're always underrated.
Yeah, they are. And that's interesting. And also, what was nice for me is it was a game, all right, we didn't win it, but I've said it, it's not about that always for me in football. I don't need that to support my club. You know, like I've said countless times, I'd support Man United if we were in the Conference North, you know. Yes. So whether we win or not, it isn't going to affect my love of watching the club.
It was a good run.
Got me off my seat.
Yeah, totally. It was a good run.
But my point is, there's still anything wrong with that. It was lovely.
But what I fear is the next five fixtures of Man United.
They've got a brilliant February.
It is brutal. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Because I think they need to come out swinging. Yeah, exactly. PSG.
I don't understand.
How would you do that against PSG?
Okay, the PSG game, I cannot wait for. And can I take from the football fan perspective in me?
Yeah,
cool. Can I tell you something? It's the game I wanted the least, because the football fan in me wants the Man United fan in me wants to see us lift the title. I do like watching PSG, as you are aware. I watch a lot of French football, and I do enjoy watching them play, I'll admit it. But then the football fan in me as well wants to see Gigi Buffon lift the Champions League this season. Not next, this. Because, yeah, I know, he's a beautiful man. So obviously I want Man United to go through. He's 41. But this season, he left Juventus, widely sort of, you know, accredited to the fact that he wanted, as he was leaving, PSG offered him another way into the Champions League, basically, is what I'm saying.
To achieve that.
Yeah, he had decided to leave Juventus. That's what he did. And then PSG, he's actually, there's a very good interview with him. He's on the front cover of 442 magazine this month. Other magazines are available, but that is the best one. And he's on the front cover, and he talks in there about how he was ready to retire. But then PSG came in and said, look, what we need right now is somebody to come in and to add a little bit more a tradition into the dressing room, and an authority figure.
Yeah, respect and authority.
And yeah, that's what they brought him in for, to be that. And he's aware of this. And he's like, because they asked me that way, and I would be not first choice, I'd be rotated. But they wanted me to come in as the elder statesman. I thought it was an interesting project. But they genuinely could win the Champions League this year. Yeah.
Well, they're my favourites.
Yeah. And if PSG do, in the same year that Juventus are favourites too, that will be like Buffon Buffon stopping. I don't think he'd play it. I genuinely don't think right, this Man United section's gone into a Buffon loving, but if PSG play Juventus in the final of the Champions League this year, I don't think Buffon will play in it. I think he'd refuse. I do.
Can you imagine?
I think he'd refuse.
All right, let's ask Gigi. I'll call him.
Right, okay. Buffon, we're going to ring you.
Should we summarise this?
Yeah, let's summarise this.
We love you, Gigi Buffon.
We love you,
Gigi. And Ole, good luck with the next.
Good luck, because you've got a rough month.
Can't wait. Hello, Mitchell. Can you hear me?
I can indeed, loud and clear.
This is Clem Fandango. Are you here?
I am here. Yes,
right, now, Mitch, we're going to do some Reader's Wives. Do you know what Reader's Wives is?
I'm familiar with the concept, yeah.
All right, what is the concept? It's Reader's Wives, not actual wives of readers.
Right, what we're doing, we should clarify, is not actual just, wives just of readers.
Just to make readers. This clear, we don't know any of the wives.
No, we don't. Every week I ask our Twitter followers and Facebook
likers. Of the week.
Question of the week. And this week I said, what we wanted to know was, with the transfer window obviously closing tomorrow, it's last day tomorrow, what business do you A, want your club to do, and B, what business do you think they'll actually end up doing? So what do you want them to against what you think they actually will?
The double whammy. Yeah. There's two questions in one, which is great.
That's good. The first reply we got back was from Chris Etchingham, who is one of the hosts of the very good Man on the Post podcast.
Nice.
Which I do recommend checking out. It's very good. Award winning. They are. He came back, he's a Liverpool fan, and he said he wanted another centre-back, but doubted they would. Can you see the need for another centre-back at Liverpool?
You can't just pluck out, like, Van Dijk's everywhere, can you? No. You can't plug a Dijk.
I could see... You can't. I think what you need to do if you're Liverpool is look at De Ligt at Ajax myself. But right. We then had a reply.
So no, I don't think it's a viable thing.
I don't think it's a viable thing in a day. No.
They don't need a defender. I don't think they need a defender.
Okay, right.
But you know, there we are.
Nathan, right. Who's a Man United fan, said we'll do nothing. But he would like a decent centre back. Centre backs again. Everyone wants a centre back.
Tell me what Captain Gavin's big Alf's saying.
Right, well. After our Nathan, then Captain Gareth came in. Friend of the Ramble.
Yeah.
And he came in and said, it's a bit early in the day for that. What about all the Liverpool fans who booked the open top bus after last night's Newcastle win?
What happens if Puel pulls a pool?
Yeah, what happens if Puel pulls a pool? That's a hard sentence. Yeah. Puel pulls a Puel. That's a hard sentence to say, Gareth.
Don't say that after a couple of, shows.
No.
A couple of cider lollies.
Okay, right. Then shout out, please.
Shout out!
The Gormisaurus.
We have the Gormisaurus.
Came in. Chelsea won't do anything else. And pleased we've kept players. Shame Cesc couldn't have stayed and sent Kovacic home. Wouldn't mind loaning Man City, Kante and Eden Hazard. That's an interest.
He wants to loan him Kante and Hazard?
Yeah.
Why?
That's an interesting take from a Chelsea fan.
I don't know. That's legit. Can I have a shout out, please?
Why? Mitch is flabbergasted, Darren.
A quick shout out because we're on shout outs.
We are. Shout out!
A really quick one, it's unrelated. It's James Montgomery for Forest Green Rovers, our beloved Forest Green Rovers.
Yeah.
He lost some teeth because he's a goalkeeper operating, doing the best service he could, and he misses some teeth now. But he put himself on the line the best way keepers do.
And probably did this in the wet. Hashtag keeper in the wet.
Keepers in the wet. Hashtag still going strong.
Hashtag keep her in the wet.
Keepers in the wet. Reader's Wives, are we done?
No, we're not done. Right, my favourite one was Kiadu's ponytail. He's a Spurs fan. He just simply said, where to start? Which I thought was very good. Then Raj came in. Raj, Arsenal fan, says Suarez and Perisic would be interesting, but we need defensive reinforcements. He's an Arsenal fan, obviously.
Certainly we do.
Especially for the long term. Probably won't get anyone, though. But today, after asking this question, Arsenal have obviously brought in Suarez on loan.
Yeah. I don't know how much you're going to be used on loan, though.
It's interesting. Right, Mitch, because you're the guest, could you sum this section up for me, please?
Harry Redknapp looking outside his car window.
Right, okay. In this any other business, I've got like loads of things to burn through. First of all, exciting Premier League this year?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you and Mitchell Lewis-Gadd both thought that Man City was still going to come on strong.
Yeah.
And then pulled their act together and they lost to Newcastle, which...
Yeah.
...spiced things up a bit going forward.
It did spice things up. But
are Liverpool capitalising on that?
Right now, they're not.
No, they're not.
Like, as we record this. But... don't react to that. We've just seen some scores.
Anyway, I think it's all go. I think it makes it really interesting because I think that Liverpool will stammer across the way as well. But do you know what? I hope they go on to win it.
Yeah. As a Man United fan, there's quite a lot of people on my Twitter right now who just do not want to see Liverpool win the title. And I see where they're coming from. But also, if it's not Man United winning it, I don't really care. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't really... Like, last year Man City won it. I didn't really care because it's not Man United.
Mm-hmm.
I just think as a Man United... Unless my team is winning the league, why should I get worked up about who wins the league? I don't really care.
It's more fun than usual.
Yeah, it is.
It is more fun.
What I'm finding quite fun about it as well is that the relegation title race is really interesting because you've got Southampton who've pulled away.
Well, Fulham had a win.
Newcastle, Fulham had a great win. Yeah. The only side at the minute that seems bereft and just completely out of depth.
Because of reason.
It's Huddersfield. Yeah, I don't think Cardiff City. There's nothing about Huddersfield that makes me excited about them this season. Cardiff City, they've still got that bit about them that you just think, look how much they're fighting for this.
I think you'll
look how much.
I think
Newcastle have got these. It's interesting. It's an interesting league. Yeah.
It's an interesting league.
Not just at the top.
All right, another question.
Yeah, question.
Should we just scrap transfers in January?
You might as well at this point. I think you might as well, yeah.
Who benefits? I think players...
Clubs want to buy anyone in January anymore because they just know...
Because it's hyperinflated.
They know that it's hyperinflated in January.
So it's the opposite of a January sale.
Yeah, it is the opposite. You get a load of loan deals go through in January now. You don't get the... Very rarely do you get a big transfer like Torres going to Chelsea.
On deadline day,
Andy Carroll
tomorrow,
going
or
to
the end of January.
Andy Carroll going to Liverpool same day.
Yeah, you, well, Andy Carroll.
You don't get that level.
Andy
of...
Carroll Andy Carroll to Chelsea.
Well,
would that surprise you?
Yeah,
that would surprise.
If Andy Carroll staying at West Ham at the minute, it's surprising me.
Okay, can I have a look? Can you do a little salute? And I'll tell you why. Oh, that was for Marouane Fellaini.
Yeah.
Auf Wiedersehen, so long, goodbye.
Yeah, Marouane Fellaini is going...
Do you think he's just a misunderstood player?
I'll say it on record as a Man United fan. Aside from Pogba and Herrera, Marouane Fellaini is the third best signing made by the club since Ferguson retired.
Well, I think he's just nails. He's a workhorse.
Yeah, people will ridicule
Van Gaal,
but genuinely...
Mourinho... And Davy Moyes have all resorted to using him.
Yeah, I think that Fellaini, genuinely, I'm happy for people to give me more. Mm-hmm. But name me another sign-in. Okay, I'll stretch this to another one because Martial was bought after Fergie. So Martial was a better sign-in than Fellaini. I think Herrera was a better sign-in and Pogba was a better sign-in. Apart from those three, there's no better sign-in since Fergie retired than Marouane Fellaini. Honestly, he's done better than Sanchez. I'm sad to see him go. He does a job. He's a squad member and he does a job.
All right. Next little salute. Can you do a little salute?
Another one.
The realness of Neil Warnock.
Yeah, it was interesting.
An outpour for Salah again. It was a really good, I don't want to call it a send-off, but it was a respectful salute to...
Yeah, I thought he handled himself very, very well.
But this week, it came out that Neil Warnock's just really finding it difficult, but he's got to be strong in front of the team players because it's an awkward situation to find stuff, and he's never experienced it before. So much so, it seems like he's in a bit of an existential crisis in terms of actually like finding the deeper meaning and like understanding, okay, on the grand scale of things, like what can you actually do?
Yeah.
What can you actually do? And it throws everything into question. And you just don't see that, or you don't hear managers be that authentic in their approach, because it is a huge thing and a massive psychological thing that there's going on as well for all the players involved. And it would make you question everything. But like, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
And as a result of the situation that is afoot.
It is. Neil Warnock has certainly handled himself a lot better this week than he has done recently in the media. I think that's fair to say.
Mm.
He's been coming off very, very badly recently. He's shown another side to him. He's very human and things like that. There's been so many nice touches about the Salah thing, you know, from other clubs and other footballers. And I genuinely think... It's impacted Warnock how much he actually cares.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's interesting. His reaction is deeper than it seemed.
My other little thing that's been knocking around, you know, Mitch in here.
Yeah.
I've snuck into his corner, changed stuff around a bit.
Yeah.
Welcome to my football philosophy corner.
Nice.
I want to introduce everyone today or tell people about an existentialist philosopher called Albert Camus.
Yeah.
the French philosopher with Algerian descent, played football. Played football. Guess where he played?
I don't know.
Where would you think a brilliant mind would play?
I immediately thought centre mid.
You think?
To be fair, because okay. It's my favourite position on the pitch.
He was a goalkeeper.
Was he?
He was a goalkeeper.
And that's your favourite player.
Yeah, that is. Yeah,
that's your favourite position.
That's
my favourite position. Has always been the.
So Albert Camus was once asked, "What do you prefer? Do you prefer football, or the theatre?" And outright just said, "Football outright," for the following reasons. One is for the morality of playing the actual game itself.
Mm-hmm.
The second is the fraternity that goes along with that team ethic and mentality. And the other is common purpose, because everyone on that pitch has got a role to play, and everyone sticks in, but everyone is fighting for one another. And I just wanted to introduce a bit of
nice.
Camus.
He's well I like with, your, I like well your new colour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like what you've done with the place.
Yeah, and sport in general. I've been trying.
You've smartened this corner right up.
Yeah, it's tidied up. It's sheened up a little bit.
You're listening, Mitch. He's tidied it right up. Your cushions have been fluffed and everything.
And it comes down to football, which we've been getting to grips with the last few weeks, right? Like why we enjoy sport in general, for the camaraderie, for this, that, and the other. And with Camus, he says something along the lines, morality and duty of man I owe to the sport.
Okay.
So nice. you get a measure of a person, basically.
I like it. Can I offer two things up?
Yeah.
Can I offer... Right, first thing I want to offer up is my complaint with VAR. This week.
Okay. I'm a fan of
the Millwall Everton. I'm a fan of... We're very big fans of VAR. It's the way going forward. However, something came up today which showed that VAR in England at the moment is ineffective because of the people who run the sport. Mm. Was in the FA Cup game against Millwall versus Everton, which Millwall won. But they won with a goal that should have been disallowed. And you had... They played it on the big screen in Millwall. So they're playing the instant. But the FA have decided that it will be some of... the FA have decided that if you've got... Some of the games will have VAR and you can use them. So like Man United versus Arsenal. Yeah? And other games wouldn't. So there wasn't any VAR at this game, but goal was scored and it should have been disallowed, but they played it on the big screen. So Marco Silva turned around and said to the ref, there it is, they're playing it on the big screen, it should be ruled out. While you've got Millwall's manager, I can't remember his name now for the life of me, I can't remember Millwall's manager, but he's pointing up to the people who put the images on the screen and he's shouting, turn it off, why have you got that on? Turn it off. So essentially, he was saying, turn Neil Harris. He was saying, turn it off because we've cheated.
Mm-hmm.
That's my issue with the fact VAR was not being used with this game, was that the FA have changed the outcome of the match because they've chosen not to put VAR there.
So,
if VAR had been at that game...
So, your issue's not with VAR, it's for...
Yeah, it's the fact that at the moment, VAR is not being used correctly because of inefficiency at the FA.
You know that's
to get behind it properly.
You know that's going to happen at this stage.
Yeah, but Millwall, we would now be taught, if VAR had been at that game, say that game had been a bigger game or a semi-final, VAR would be at the game, and now... Millwall wouldn't have won that game if VAR had been there, because it's a genuine goal. It should have been called off. If VAR had been there, bang, it was a no goal.
Yeah, but
the FA need to back VAR is basically what I'm saying.
All right, can you summarise this whole section? It's a lot.
It's a lot to summarise there, isn't it?
Quick, summarise it. First thing that comes to you, Brian.
Andy Murray had hip surgery.
Good. Carry on. Good. 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 Good.
That's it then.
Yeah. That's it for another week. Yeah, we're good there. Thank you very much for Mitch joining us.
Appreciate that.
On your tour that you're doing.
We've got, keep an eye on our socials because we are going to be rebranding soon.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
We are very excited.
So what socials are we on?
We are on Instagram and Twitter at The FIFA Ramble. We are on YouTube and Facebook, The FIFA Ramble.
Yeah.
Search us out. Follow us.
All that jazz.
Make sure you go follow everything and you'll see a lot of interesting new pictures and sorts.
If you want to be on next week, just let us know in one way or another. Even if you just leave a comment on one of our caption pieces we got going up.
Yeah, get on. You'll be on next week's show.
Be on a Reese's Wives thing.
Yeah, right.
Thanks.
That's enough.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.